2 years ago this month, China's government, directed by Jiang Zemin, launched a campaign of violence to eliminate a segment of China's own citizens, people who practice Falun Gong. On June 20th, just over 3 weeks ago, this violence reached a tragic extreme. In hardly more than 1 day, at least 15 women died as a result of brutal persecution. They were beaten and tortured by guards in the Wanjia labor camp in Harbin City, Heilongjiang province. An unknown number of others who have been detained in the camp are still receiving emergency treatment for injuries they suffered. Around the same time as the 15 deaths in Wanjia, 4 horrifying murders of Falun Gong practitioners occurred in Bai Guo Township. Local police beat one practitioner to death, chained 2 others to motorcycles, and dragged them to their deaths at high speed, and dragged the body of another practitioner to the front of a local government building after beating him unconscious. They then set him on fire while he was still alive. Police declared, that is, to onlookers, that this practitioner died from self-immolation. Just recently, there have been reports that female practitioners at Xintai Police Station in Hebei Province have been stripped, naked, whipped with bamboo strips, and shocked on their breasts and genitals with electric batons. They were then gang raped by the policemen. Also, 4 more male practitioners have been confirmed to have died while in police custody.
My name is Sarah Howard, and we're here today to talk about Falun Gong. And to help me do that, I have 2 guests. I have Pai Tan and Al Witted. I'm going to start questions tonight with the basics. Al, can you tell us what is Falun Gong?
Falun Gong is an advanced Qigong, and it teaches principles like truth, compassion, and forbearance. That's the cultivation aspect of it. And then there's a exercise aspect of it, which is meditation and standing exercises, similar to Tai Chi, but again, it's its own, Falun Gong is its own system, and so there's a different form and different movements, but they are gentle, and it promotes health, the exercises, and people with truth, compassion, and forbearance, they practice this in everyday life. They don't go into the forest. They don't go to a monastery. It's just normal people with everyday jobs, everyday lives of all nationality, all races, that just go into their job situation or family situation and just simply try to become more truthful, more kind, and more tolerant to one another.
Tai, what are the origins of Falun Gong?
Well, Sarah, Falun Gong has a very ancient origin. I don't know, maybe Westerners may be not very familiar with cultivation practice. Falun Gong used to be a very ancient cultivation practice, used to be passed down to only one person each generation, and it was only made public in 1992 by Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong. And over the 9 years that it's been in public, over 100 million people from more than 40 countries are practicing it. I don't know if you've seen the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
right? Yes.
I'm told by many Chinese practitioners. I'm Vietnamese, so I don't have too much familiarity with Chinese culture than the average American, but that movie, I'm told, is a very good introduction to the Western mind of what cultivation practice is, of maybe a master teaching a pupil, training a pupil on a cultivation system.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many people have only heard about Falun Gong through the media's coverage of the persecutions in China. Why do you feel that the Chinese government is persecuting these practitioners? I'm going to start with you, Tai.
Well, as we've mentioned, that Falun Gong is basically an ancient traditional spiritual practice that just includes exercise and meditation, but the number of people practicing Falun Gong grew to a large number, which was not to the liking of the Chinese communist regime. especially Zhong Zemin, hard to say his name. He felt, I guess he felt threatened that he would lose control over people's minds and hearts. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the 1999 issue of U.S. World News and Report, they reported that the Chinese government did a survey and found that at least 70 million people were practicing Falun Gong in China, and up to 30%, I believe, of the Communist Party was practicing Falun Gong. And so they felt the top leadership felt threatened, and I guess they just decided to stamp it out.
Al, do you have anything to add to that? Or?
I would just like to add that, again, the truthfulness, the compassion, the forbearance is a different ideology as the communists, Jiang Zemin, openly atheistic and communist and materialistic, and I don't think he would like his society to go into a different direction than he wants them to go, and so maybe he wants to control every aspect of society, and so he is indeed doing this with atrocities and things that are horrifying people in the West.
Can you tell me a little bit about the persecutions and some of the things that have happened so far?
I'll just start off with a few statistics about the scale of what's happening in China. There's about 50,000 people arbitrarily detained, Chinese Falun Gong practitioners detained. They don't have any rights. They don't have the right to a lawyer, the right to speak out against this. They're just arbitrarily detained for practicing, you know, Falun Gong. Over 20,000 people have been sentenced into labor camps, put into labor camps, and they can be put into labor camps up to 18 years. And this is I don't know if people really know the reality of what is happening in the labor camps or the situation in the labor camps, but it's a very grim situation while they're in there. They're being tortured, they're being beaten, they're made to work 14 hours or more. Ty just did a report on it, so he'll give you more details of what is actually happening there. And also, up to this point, over 250 people have been tortured to death, according to the Human Rights and Amnesty International reports.
Ty, I've read accounts of some of the atrocities upon thousands of people who have been detained because they are practitioners of Falun Gong. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the documented accounts of the violence to those who have been imprisoned?
Yes, well, Sarah, tragically, very unfortunately, I can think of recent cases happening in the last few weeks. You've probably heard of the report of the 15 female practitioners in the Wanxia labor camp. I think it was in Heilongjiang province. According to the inside reports and their relatives, they say that they were tortured to death, but the Chinese government called these suicide. And in fact, the USA Department released a press release, I think it was July the 5th or the 6th, and they basically raised some issues saying that these practitioners should not have been in the camp in the first place, and it's already documented that people are being severely tortured in these labor camps. Other atrocities, I believe it was in Macheng City, Hubei province. I don't know if it was a year ago or something like that in this country where a man was dragged behind a car to his death.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, they tied up two Falun Gong practitioners behind motorcycles and dragged them to their death. And then from the reports, they beat one person unconscious and then dragged him in front of a public building or someplace and set him on fire while he was still alive. And then they said, this is self-immolation. And if that's not enough, just a couple of days ago, there was confirmed reports of 10 male practitioners being massacred in a labor camp. I think it was Chongling-Zer in northeast China. And these were the atrocities of people getting killed, but also being tortured, especially like women practitioners are very persecuted. Cases of gang rape by the police. In fact, these were all done by authorities to lease the government.
I've heard a lot of reports mm-hmm. about cases of women being raped, like
right.
you said,
mm-hmm.
and it's also older people. It's
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, young practitioners that they're persecuting. It seems to be a lot of older people as well. Is that true?
Right. It seems the brutal nature is coming out. The I guess from my perspective, the women and especially the elderly seem to be taking a lot of brunt of the prosecution. Of the prosecutions, the tortures and the beatings. Of course, I think the whole segment of Falun Gong practitioners are taking the punishment for practicing Falun Gong, but especially women and even elderly women are very brutally persecuted. And some of the cases that I've read are so inhumane. I have a hard time maybe talking about it in public.
How have Falun Gong practitioners in China faced their persecution? How has this affected their beliefs and their practice?
The aspect that I like to concentrate on, or the image I like to think of, is that many practitioners, they will go to Tiananmen Square no matter what. They know that they're going to be persecuted. They know when they leave the door that morning, if they go to Tiananmen Square to verify the truth that Falun Gong is good, they know they have a big chance of being put into the buses, sent to the labor camps, and their life from that point on is ruined in terms of, you know, having a job, they're being tortured every day. But because they believe in it so much, they continue to go to Tiananmen Square. And there's not been one case where somebody has been beaten by a policeman that they've ever hit back or fought back. So they've always responded in a very proactive way. In their hearts, they don't have hatred towards it in their hearts. They don't hit back. They just endure it with nonviolence, because one of the principles of Falun Gong is endurance and tolerance and not to hit back. And so that's what they are doing. They're reacting in a nonviolent way. But they will continue to have courage until this is over to go to Tiananmen Square, whatever it takes, and tell the truth, because this is something that's very important, that these are people that have a fundamental right to practice truth, compassion, forbearance, and they're not. In other countries, this is celebrated. These characteristics are celebrated, and we embrace those principles and celebrate it. But in China, these fundamental rights of believing, these fundamental rights, they don't have it. They're treating it as a crime, a big crime. And they believe in it. The Falun Gong practitioners believe in it so much, they'll risk everything. They'll give up everything. And they know that 256 or more people have been tortured to death, and they still have the courage to continue to go out with courage.
It's an amazing amount of courage to face that. Is it true that the Chinese government is persecuting Falun Gong practitioners outside of China as well?
That's a great question. A lot of ways. They won't stop media coverage because they're scared of the truth. They're scared that the truth will be revealed. And so they want to stop reports. They want to put pressure on, you know, on reporters in outside countries to, not give this story, so to speak. Also, I mean, personally, we're in a lot of parades. We're in a lot of festivals in the Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, Charlotte area. And most people, they embrace us, they like us there, they invite us back the next year. But there was one particular festival that was going to host the Chinese consulates. And before they knew the Chinese consulates were going to be there, they said, yes, of course, practice your advanced, your Qigong and tell people about this. It's a free teaching, it's nonprofit. But then they found out the Chinese consulates were there. The Chinese consulate says, if Falun Gong is going to be there, we will not come. So instead of reasoning with the Chinese consulates, they began to take the law of China, and they completely desegregated us and told us we cannot come. We cannot be at this festival, and we were not allowed to be there. So we see that Chinese government is also trying to portray an image of Falun Gong here, try to desegregate us here. And it's also the Falun Gong the Chinese government is controlling the media in China and just making up stories, propaganda, and then trying to use the media to paint a bad picture on Falun Gong. Because if the world sees Falun Gong as bad, then they can rationalize the huge horrors that they're doing. So of course they're going to try to control what people are thinking, and they're just making up all kinds of stories about this. So in many ways, this is a persecution not only in China, but it's also tainting the picture of Falun Gong all over the world. The Chinese government is doing that and slandering Falun Gong.
Can I add my perspective?
Oh, yes, please, go right ahead.
This, maybe this will relate to the American public more. I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen. My family came here from Vietnam in 1975, and I was an American citizen. He was born in America. Falun Gong it originated in China, but now it's practiced by people all around the world. So we're having American citizens practicing Falun Gong here in the United States, and then there's a foreign country coming into the United States and telling American citizens what to do, that they shouldn't practice this, trying to block American citizens from renting conference halls, trying to get mayors to reverse proclamations given to American citizens, American government officials pressuring mayors. In fact, several major cities have rescinded their proclamations because of the Chinese government's pressure, you know, using that the trade word. Of course, Falun Gong practices are not political. We just want to tell the truth and just want to be able to practice freely wherever in China, here, try to improve ourselves and benefit society. So I think this persecution is a bit unprecedented in history, in that not only a large population in the country where the oppressive regime is persecuting its own people, but it's also expanding outward to other countries and interfering into the affairs of other countries.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Dong, and I am a researcher at Duke University Medical Center. Today, I will talk about my brother, a Falun Gong practitioner in China, and the persecution he has experienced. My brother, like hundreds of thousands of other practitioners, went to Beijing in late September 2000 to peacefully appeal for Falun Gong. Several weeks later, my family found out that he was arrested in Beijing and sent back to a local detention center. Up till now, I still don't know what exactly my brother has experienced and is experiencing. But I do know that the persecution in his province is the worst. Out of over 250 practitioners who died due to beating and torture, 48 were in his province alone. I am so worried about my brother. Falun Gong practitioners are forced to work 15 to 20 hours of intensive labor every day. I wonder if my brother is one of them. In the freezing winter, Falun Gong practitioners were stripped of clothing, chained outdoors, or even buried in the snow overnight. I wonder if my brother is one of them. Falun Gong practitioners are often hung for hours, are not given food or water for a few days, are denied access to bathroom for several days, and are not allowed to sleep for days. I don't know if my brother is one of them. Falun Gong practitioners are frequently shocked with electric batons, pierced into fingernails with pins, force-fed with hot pepper water. I wonder if my brother is one of them. I don't want to imagine. Today, I have told everyone about my brother, but he is only one of the hundreds of thousands that are being brutally persecuted in China. I sincerely hope that everyone can offer your helping hand to stop Jiang Zemin regime's brutality. With your help, I'm sure that my brother and all other Falun Gong practitioners can be free again and return to my family. Thank you very much.
It's time to remember history. It can be said that throughout history, there has been little more cherished than peace. Despite the value of peace transcending culture, nationality, and time, peace has often been something uncertain, even negotiated and contested. History has thus been a tale of contrast, the desire for peace and harmony on one hand, and the means to it, however unlikely, on the other. The irony of fighting for peace has befallen countless nations and peoples, marring history with blood, scars, and casualties. Yet, from history have emerged a number of great, noble leaders of high moral and spiritual quality, persons who saw that peace is not to be found so much through forceful means as it is in looking inward. These persons have sought peace by embodying it, even perfecting it. They have brought peace by being it and exemplifying it, not by demanding it. Western history can be seen as one illustration of this principle. In ancient Athens, some 2,500 years ago, Socrates refused to compromise his teaching of the truth, even unto death. Thus, Plato and Western philosophy were born. In ancient Jerusalem, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth offered new life to people through his teaching of higher laws, even unto death. Thus, Christianity was born. More recently, Nelson Mandela brought peace and stability to South Africa after suffering imprisonment in jail for almost 30 years. He overturned apartheid and became president through his commitment to deeper principles. Following Mahatma Gandhi's path of nonviolent resistance, Martin Luther King gave his life to the civil rights movement and made the world a better place for all Americans of goodwill. History, we see, has taught us the power of forbearance. While the seemingly strong and invincible quickly fade from memory, the virtuous and oppressed are long remembered. We remember their suffering and treasure the lessons they have taught us about commitment to the truth, to compassion, and to forbearance. History teaches us that peace and harmony are ultimately accomplished by the benevolent actions of brave and upright people who are willing to suffer for the sake of higher principles. As we enter the new millennium, once again, the world cries out for peace and healing. This time, we witness not one person, but thousands stepping forward courageously, selflessly, to defend what is true. They are practitioners of Falun Dafa in China, and they are being persecuted for who they are, where they are, and how many they are. No offense beyond this. The whole world watches in horror as powerful, intolerant forces attack Falun Dafa. Yet few in the West understand the situation well. We offer here the story of Falun Dafa's peaceful journey.
How can people in Greensboro and across the nation help end the persecution in China, Ty?
Well, personally, I think raising awareness and then hoping and maybe taking action from one's compassion would be important. But as Al said, we can call our congressman or write to our congressman and tell them about the situation in China. And also Al had mentioned there's an organization called Friends of Falun Gong, which is independent of Falun Gong, ran by non-practitioners, and they are non-profit. And they do initiate campaigns to help rescue Falun Gong practitioners in China who are injured or imprisoned. So that would be a very good avenue for people from all walks of life to assist in any way they can to just help end this terrible persecution in China.
How can people learn more? Al, can you tell us about local groups or organizations? Ty just mentioned Friends of Falun Gong. Are there other groups either here in Greensboro or in other places in North Carolina they can contact?
Yes. We have a practice site in Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, and there's growing interest here in Greensboro. So soon, hopefully, we'll have a practice site as well. Practice site means we practice in the Duke Gardens in Durham, Raleigh, the Pullen Park, and Chapel Hill, we practice in the community park on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 to 12. We can get details later, and people just come and practice the meditation and exercises. And the local website would be?
Our local website, well, if you go to the official website, falundafa.org, and just link to North Carolina, it'll give you our local website.
Very good. Well, we're going to do our part as much as we can to get the word out with this program that we're doing today. And I'd like to thank you both very, very much for coming and talking to me this afternoon. It was very informative. It taught me a lot about Falun Gong, things that I didn't know, and I hope that we can educate our community as well. So thank you both for coming.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us.